Hello and welcome to the Wolves Report. I'm Ryan Lester and thank you for joining us for episode 97, where tonight we'll analyse the match and player performances from Wolves' 2-0 home defeat to Arsenal. You two, honestly, the things that get said off air in this show, you try and introduce the show, they drop a stinker in and they absolutely ruin your introduction. We're going to look at going ahead and going forward with Farshan and Jeff, take your questions and look ahead to Bournemouth and Luton. What a pair of stinkers these are. It's my co-hosts, colleagues, friends, and other things I'd like to call them, in the form of club captain Mark Nock and director of football Chris Tyler. One day we'll have an open air show where they can say the things they say to me off air, and it will probably be the last podcast we all did before they were in prison. Welcome to the show. Again, you can catch this up on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Spotify. As always, the show goes out live, so we welcome your comments across Twitter, YouTube and Facebook. If they're good, we'll get them on. Any good insults, we'll get them on as well. But it'd be nice to have you interact with the show. Nocky, we'll start with you, because I think yours and Tyler's opinions are a little bit different in terms of Saturday's game. But it was a lot better than we expected. But talk us through Wolverhampton Wanderers 0, Arsenal 2.
I actually quite enjoyed it. I did have a little bit of a sneaky before the game, and then the half the team vanished, so that kind of put a bit of a damper on me, squeaky a bit. But no, look, I thought that considering the situation we were in and the quality of opposition we were up against, I was relatively, I don't want to say pleased with the performance. I was pleased we didn't get hammered, first and foremost. And I was pleased with the way that the lads conducted themselves. I thought that it was very disciplined. I tweeted it was a very honest performance because I think they all worked their socks off. I don't think there's anyone I looked at and thought, you know, even if they didn't have the best performance, that they weren't trying. But I thought that we were organised. We were hard to break down. Our defensive shape was very good. The midfield was okay, but it was just more of a disciplined performance. And I'm not sure how much of a good thing that is, to be honest. I mean, I'm a little bit worried that we've become the plucky underdogs now, that we're happy with losing 2-0 at home because we haven't been whooped. So I'm not sure if that's, you know, is that a good thing? Is that a bit of a small-time mentality? Possibly, but we also know the situation we're in with injuries and the squad size. And I think we had 10 players to choose from. We've got a 15-year-old kid on the bench as well. And we're having to give a debut to a lad who probably should be out on loan in, you know, League Two, probably learning his trade. So for what we had on the pitch, I was very pleased. I was very proud of the performance. We hit the crossbar. We had an opportunity. And I think we had a got in front then. Maybe they did it panic stations a little bit. But, you know, I'm not going to knock anyone who was on the pitch because I thought they all worked hard. I'm not going to knock Gary O'Neill. I thought his tactics were spot on. I thought the formation was good. I thought the organisation was good. I thought the Wolves fans as well bought into how hard the players are working. That's probably the best atmosphere I've heard at Molineux for probably the last 2 or 3 years, really. And I've had diddy stuck in my head for the last 3 days. So it was an enjoyable game. You know, I took my lad with me, enjoyed it. It was a good game, but you know, at the end of the day, we still lost it, didn't we? It's another defeat. I think that's, what is that, 5 now since we've won a game. So a good performance, but it's maybe the performance slightly papered over the cracks of where we are at the minute.
Yeah, great introduction there and starts the show from Nocky. Tyler, are you on the same page? Are you happier than you thought you would be? Well, you're never happy, but so that's a ridiculous thing to say. But are you in a better place Wolves-wise than you thought you'd be after the Arsenal game?
Yeah, I think there was a big concern when you saw the lineups that it could be a bit of a spanking, wasn't it? You know, your 5s and 6s. But I'm with Nocky, you know, the players were excellent, really. And I think O'Neill was excellent. He got it spot on. And you know, whether Arsenal had other gears to go into, we'll probably never know because obviously they got the goal just before half-time and never needed to. But a couple of lucky strikes, really, and everything else I was fairly comfortable with. And it was a bit of a funny game watching it, wasn't it, really? I mean, it was obviously a bit of attack against defence, and at times it was a bit of a training drill for Arsenal, I thought. You know, they were very comfortable. And you know, you've seen tweets saying off about front three, we can win the game, but not for me because Arsenal had gears to go through and we're very comfortable. But, you know, some clear positives. I thought Santi Bueno was excellent and he's starting to really sort of cement his place in the team. And a shout out for Boubacar as well, because I think we've come on here and said, oh, he doesn't get many minutes and why doesn't he get many minutes? But I thought he was excellent and the sort of game that potentially you could argue is perfect for him, where he has to chase and harass, but he's also a lot better with the ball than I think people give him credit for. He protects it well. He's available. A couple of nice 1-2s and give and goes. Did his defensive work. And I suppose it just begs the question why we've seen so little of him. And especially with the small, depleted squad, he's the one that, you know, does stand out as potentially the one that's been hard done by with the lack of minutes. But I thought they did everything they could. And yeah, you know, I'm with Nocky. You know, 3 or 4 years ago, we were playing Arsenal at home and beating them and expecting to beat them as well, expecting to get results. And that's a big shift now, isn't it, where you're going into a game hoping you don't get a hiding. And I don't like that. I think it is a bit small time. And I think we need to move away from that pretty quick, really.
Yeah, I agree. I think we need to change that mentality going into next season. I slightly disagreeing with what you're saying a little bit, guys. I do believe with a fully fit team, if you play with that style and keep it tight and counter like we did so well against Man City, like we did away at Spurs, I think we'll give a proper game. Do we still lose against a team that's lost in the Champions League quarterfinal and is top of the Premier League? We probably do. But I think we get a bit of more of a game. And the thing for me that was, you could see it was glaringly obvious, despite some really good efforts, the defence and the midfield were perfectly fine. They were very good at what they did, tracking, pressing, really good shape. Got to the business end though, and we just didn't have anything there because we didn't have any quality. Mm-hmm. And that was the key difference. They riddled with fantastic footballers that can open you up left, right and centre. Wolves had a debutant and a couple of people out of position. And it was all right, but I do feel that, I think someone else mentioned disappear as well. I do feel like with a 100% fit Cunha and Hwang, well, I don't know if we'd have won, Paul, but I think we'd have given more problems because Wolves have specialised in that tucking in, frustrating and breaking quickly and breaking the best teams down. So we'll never know, though. Hindsight's a wonderful thing. Thank you for being part of the show, Paul.
I think just on that, mate, and you made a valid point, but I do think that they were playing at 60, 70% of what they're capable of. I think Wolves would have upped it, I think they could have upped it as well. And they were playing, you know, they've had 3 games in a week. I think they knew they were in control of the game. They would have liked a second goal to kill us off, but I do think they had gears to go through, whereas I don't think we did. And I don't think the injuries were quite as bad as has been made out. I think Gary O'Neill looked at it and thought it's as close to as unwinnable game as we can probably have at the moment with the injuries we've got. So I think he maybe kept Ait Nouri back, maybe kept Cunha away. I wouldn't be surprised if those players aren't available on Wednesday. I think it was a bit of a tactical decision, really. And if they had have all been fit, maybe we probably still would have lost the game. And then you've got tired players going into a game that, on papers, you know, you've got much more of a chance of getting a positive result from.
Going back about 15, 20 years ago, the three of us went to Man United. I'm not sure it was one of yours birthdays. Was it your birthday, Nocky or Tyler? It was someone's birthday. And went up, I think we'd won 1-0 at Spurs. And he changed the whole team. So we went to Man United, we booked Day's holiday. And then we went to Old Trafford to see Steph the Chef up front. And it was the easiest 3-0 Man United had ever done.
He should have been in front, though. George Friend put one over, didn't he? From about, well, he was on the goal line.
He's the only player out of that lot that's still playing now, isn't he? But with what you're saying there, I agree. And we'll only find out really what the damage is like on Wednesday evening, whether Cunha is back. Because it seems two very unfortunate, very fast injuries. Now, they may be telling the truth, they may not be, but to have Semedo out and Cunha out like that quickly, and to rest Lamina, Ait Nouri on the bench, it's a lot of changes, isn't it? So it could have gone wrong, but credit to him. I mean, who knows what happens? I mean, I only knew until I watched the replay that João Gomes, and I sit at that end as well, that João Gomes had sort of hit the woodwork. I didn't realise. I just thought the keeper would save it. So who knows what happens then? But like you said, they've got multiple gears. But credit to Gary for being brave. He's trusted. Yep. He's rotated. Wolves give a really good show of themselves. Yes, Arsenal had more gears to go through, Tyler, but it was by no means an easy game for them. They had to work for that.
Yeah, the one thing that you can't fault this season is that we've always in games. I think we talked about it the other week. We're not having these silly 5-0, 6-0s anymore. We're always in games, and we were very much in that game. Oh, very much is probably pushing it, but we were in the game at 1-0.
At 1-0 to the 90th minute, you're in the game.
Yeah.
So I think that's the big one of the main positives this season. You know, we took a few hidings last season and threw the towel in. You know, players genuinely gave up, didn't they? Brighton away, Arsenal away, City, but there's none of that this season, and that's because of what Nocky alluded to. They're bought into the manager, and you can see, you know, tactically spot on, you know, very good at what he does.
Very well coached.
He hasn't got the tools at the moment to do what he wants to do, but that's all self-inflicted. That's on us, nobody else. That's a Wolves problem. And I'll never, ever use injuries as an excuse because every team has them. And, you know, you've got to have players in a squad. I think we had, off record, we said we want a squad of like 23, 24 pros, don't we? And we've got 18, I think we worked out. And three of those are goalkeepers, of senior pros. It's nowhere near enough to compete over 38 games. It just isn't. You know, your kids are there to prop you up when needed, to play in the odd league game. Yeah, we're relying on them. And kids, I'd still put, you know, I'd class Hugo Brennan in that category. You know, Chirawa's certainly in that category. You know, Tommy Doyle, young, Gomez, 23. You're asking a lot of, you know, these young lads, and they've done brilliant, but they need support.
Absolutely. Just something to pull back from what Tyler said there, Nocky. Not what this time last year, but last game of the season away at Arsenal. Wolves got absolutely spanked. I went to London. The best thing was probably the sandwich I had that cost me about £19.50. Went there and got to see Wolves absolutely hammered. Tyler's made a really good point. Wolves have a bunch of players who are bought into the manager and they're all buying into each other. And I mean, it may happen between now and the end of the season, but Wolves are always in games. So Arsenal, I'd say we're pretty much the same squad other than Declan Rice, us considerably weaker, yet we've pulled off a better performance and a better result under Gary O'Neill than Lopetegui.
Yeah, we've done it a few times, haven't we? I mean, the Spurs game, we stayed in the game at Molineux and then we ended up getting two late goals to win it. And Chelsea, we stayed in the game and then we got ourselves ahead. And you know, we've got a system that works, and we've always said about an identity at Wolves that we maybe haven't had it. And I don't think Lopetegui had time to put an identity into us, but we've got a bit of an identity there. You know probably how we're going to set up, you know how everyone's going to play, you know where everyone wants to be when everybody's fit. So we're organised, we know how to play. And we did get a few spankings under Lopetegui, but I think it was a different scenario because we were very much an all or nothing situation. He came in with bottom of the league. You either win or you lose. Draws are no good for us at this point. So I'm not sure it's a fair comparison between the two. And I think if he'd have stayed this season, you know, we may be in a similar position if he'd have been given the funding that he wanted, because he's a good manager. Whatever he did at Wolves, he's still a good manager. So I think it's probably not a fair comparison between the two. But I like the way we play. I like the spirit and the work rate. And I feel like the players who are there want to be here. I'm not sure that's always been the case in the past. It feels like they're bought into what we're doing, and the fans are buying into that as well. So, you know, you've got to credit O'Neill. And all the negatives that we're talking about, the biggest positive is that we sat on, what, 42, 43 points at this stage of the season, where I thought we'd be around Sheffield United, Luton, Everton, Bournemouth. I thought we'd be around the bottom four at this stage of the season. So to be where we are now, it's been an absolutely fantastic achievement. I think the frustration is that had we either invested in a striker or if we had the players fit, potentially we're still in the race for a European spot, aren't we? So it's a massive congratulations to everyone, but it's also a case of what perhaps could have been if we were a little bit more ambitious.
It feels like we've had that conversation a few times, like the year we learned Adama Traoré. There's been a couple of times when Wolves may have been flirting with something a little bit more special than they expected that season, and then January just not materialised the way we kind of expected. But we'll talk about that a little bit more in terms of going forward with Fosun and Jeff Shee. Talking about the goals, Tyler, the opening goal, they were putting us under pressure, but by no means was Sarr throwing himself around left, right and centre. Looks to me like he shanked it, but a goal's a goal.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt he shanked it. Could Doherty have been a bit stronger? I think so, maybe, in that first challenge. But you can't be too critical. It's almost worse, isn't it? You say you don't mind if they rip you apart.
Just saying, let's hang on till half-time.
That's what I said to my lad, get to half-time. And then it was just like a flat fart in that minute, wasn't it? And it just took the wind out of them, didn't it? But, you know, it happens, doesn't it? And the guy won't do it again. I mean, if he says it, I think he says he meant it. He's having a laugh, isn't he? You know, you don't mean to do that, do you? But arguably, Doc could have been, I think, a bit more stronger, a bit more physical with Jesus, and that might prevent it. But, you know, he shouldn't be top corner. There's not too much you can do about it.
Yeah, those kind of players seem to be able to score those kind of goals, whether they mean it or not. Crossard's a class player, regardless whether he meant it, top player. Second goal, Nocky. Didn't look the best defensively, and I think Sarr's been caught out because I'm not expecting Odegaard to beat him from there.
Yeah, if there's one thing, one real negative I take from this is that we conceded late in the first half and late in the second half, and it's a little bit of a pattern with Wolves. We do seem to switch off or just run out of steam towards the end. But, I mean, you know, I didn't feel like we were ever going to get back into the game. And when they, you know, 6 minutes of injury time, I don't think we really got out of our own half. And they've worked it well. They've put pressure on. They could have scored just before that. I think Sarr should do better. I think as a goalkeeper, you protect your near post. If it's fired across the face of goal and someone taps it in, you know, that's, you're looking at your defenders then, but you protect yourself, and you left it wide open for a quality player to slip it into that gap. So it was a very avoidable goal. I was disappointed because although Arsenal have been pretty dominant, I don't think they deserved to beat us by two goals. I felt the performance deserved a little bit more recognition than to lose 2-0. 2-0 looks very comfortable. But when the ball did hit the net, I was in the North Bank and the whole stand was up clapping the players and cheering them up, which I thought was really nice. It was a reflection of how appreciation, you know, a little bit of appreciation for the supporters for the efforts that they put in. But it was an avoidable goal. The same as the first, I think that was avoidable as well. Whether he shanked it or not, you've allowed a player to do that inside the area. So both goals were disappointing. And as well as about, you know, the back line have been, we're still conceding really soft goals, which is a disappointment.
Absolutely. And here's a first for the show. Anne Hathaway and the Wolves report connecting. This is not something I thought would happen. Still with the says, I just saw Anne Hathaway celebrating that Trossard goal. I'm sure Anne will be texting Nocky again later on, so let us know what she says, Nocky.
Blocked her if she's an Arsenal fan.
That's commitment for you. Moving on to the player ratings. I'd imagine it's going to be a similar thing with lots of hard work. Nocky, you're still on talking about Jose Sarr. Did okay, but like you said, I don't think he should be getting beat at his near post.
Yeah, he still frightens me to death when he's got the ball at his feet. I can't remember who he passed it to, but he passed it straight to an Arsenal player and it nearly came flying back past him into the net. So I thought what he did relatively well. He did a couple of decent saves, but they're saves you would expect a goalkeeper at this level to make. They were all pretty routine. He hasn't got a chance with the first one when it's flying into the top corner, even though it kind of went in on slow motion. But, you know, when it's in the postage stamp like that, he hasn't got much of a chance. Disappointed with the second one, but I thought his distribution wasn't too bad. He was pretty commanded in the area. I think they only had two corners, so we protected him relatively well. But I'm sure he'll be a little bit disappointed with the goal he gave away.
Tyler, tell me about Santiago Bueno, Maximilian Kilman and Toti Gomez.
Thought they did okay. I quite enjoyed Max and Bueno's performance. Kilman seemed to just step up a little bit more without some of the senior players not on the side. And I thought it was one of his better games for a while. He had that slight bit more aggression. I'm really liking what I see from Bueno, the confidence now again to pick the ball up, carry it, get into good positions, almost getting a bit frustrated when he's not being played the ball, sort of getting into the opponent's half. I liked those two and I thought there's some sort of partnership there. And Toti did what he does. You know, he kept Saka fairly quiet, didn't he, really? I don't think Saka was at his best, but he did a bit of a job on him. And like we talked about before, they're sort of the games that seem to suit him, aren't they, where he's got that almost little one-on-one battle. He doesn't have to think about too much else and he can just focus on that. But I thought they did okay. But then on the flip side, like Nocky says, we seem to keep saying the defence are doing okay, but not a clean sheet in sight, is there? So something's not quite right there. And we certainly need to get better because I think it's five this season and that's nowhere near good enough.
Yeah, what I would say to that though, Tyler, is if there's no real options up front in terms of fit first team players, the ball's eventually going to keep coming back and it's going to be a goal. Right. Isn't it? So I can understand that. Just a special shout out for Toti for me. For me, this is the kind of game where he excels. When he's playing against a very good wide forward, out of form or not, Saka is class on his day. Diaby came to Molineux earlier on in the season, as did Phil Foden. And Toti Gomez, for me, has had his best games against those kind of footballers. Natural talent. When he's put on one-on-one, he does really well. So credit to Toti for their special shout-out. Nocky, tell me about Matt Doherty and Hugo Bueno.
They did okay. We badly missed Ait Nouri and Semedo. I mean, I've been a massive fan of Semedo this season. And for me, I think he's definitely in the running for player of the season. So when you lose his kind of defensive ability and his ability to get forward and then you lose Ait Nouri the other side, you're going to struggle. You're not going to be as strong. But I thought the two lads did well. I thought Hugo was... I was really pleased with him, actually. I thought it was a pretty honest, organised performance. Yeah, it was one of his better games. He didn't have that kind of panic in him that he sometimes seemed to have. He settled down a bit. And Doherty, yeah, I think he probably was a little bit soft for the goal, but he was similar to everyone else, really. He was organised. He knew his role. He didn't let us down, even if he was a little bit soft for the goal. But, you know, it showed how important Aitnuri Nsamaedo is, I think, because we lost that endeavour down the flanks. As soon as Aitnuri came on, the first thing he did was pick the ball up, beat three players and get us into an attacking area. And best win in the world. Doherty hasn't got that in his legs anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a strange one with Doherty. And I know he's had his criticism, but he had a running the team when Aitnuri was out and when we beat West Brom, and he was solid. But in games when you kind of need him to get forward and offer, we don't really see that from anymore. That player under Nuno that used to sort of burst into the box, and he was always on the end of a cross or a through ball, but he just doesn't seem to have that. So, yeah.
We play differently now, though, don't we? I mean, when we had Nuno, it was very much you give the ball to Cody, and then either Cody or Neves are going to whip a ball to the flying wing back. So we're going to collect it, break down to the byline and swing it in the box for put it on the penalty spot for Raul. And we don't really play like that anymore. We play more through midfield and try to find those angles. So you're kind of taking him out of that. And he hasn't got the legs for that anymore. He's north of 30 now. But he won't let you down. He'll do you a job. He's not your first pick, is he?
No, I don't think so. Moving on to Tyler, moving on to Joe Gomez, Tommy Doyle and Boubacar Traore.
Yeah, I thought they all did pretty well, really. Gomez was his usual self, wasn't he? Getting about the pitch. He didn't have his wingman with him, but didn't seem to faze him. I thought he was excellent. Tommy Doyle, very good. You know, we talked about it the week. The problem is, like you said, Ryan, he's got nowhere to pass the ball ultimately. So he's having to recycle it a lot. And there were many times where he sort of looked up, had a couple of yards and realised there was nothing on for him and then had to check. So you can't blame him for that. And then I thought Traore was excellent. You know, I thought he was so busy and got around the pitch. And, you know, I thought he did a really good job. And then, like I said, he's probably the one I'm a bit surprised that we've not seen more of, because at that level, he was very good. You know, they've got as good of a centre midfield as anyone in the league, haven't they, Arsenal? Have? And I don't think they played through us. I don't think they penetrated it very much. I thought we pretty much held our own in that regard. And I'd like to see a bit more of him. I said it last week. I'd like to see him stay in the team now between now and the end of the season and give him a run of games and see what he's got for next season.
Absolutely. Why not? Yeah, I think of the three, Boubacar was probably the standout. I wasn't really sure. I mean, I know the managers talked highly of him, but we've not really seen a lot. But it was a game, again, that really suited him. Pressed strong, good bits on the ball. Tommy Doyle, you know what you're going to get with that as well. Just something on... I know everyone sees the game differently. Everyone talks to opinion. But I felt, although there was lots of praise for the team, I did feel like there was some, when the ball kept going backwards. But I didn't mind that, because instead of... I don't know, Juan could only so much. And Chihuahua was, although decent on the ball, he's not going to get in behind anybody. Not many teams are going to get... I know it's not a great positive to grab, but not many teams are going to get 46% possession against Arsenal. Usually they get absolutely dominated, and that's a credit to Wolves, because I know that you can play the percentage ball, but I don't want to do that. So it's either in this team, you're playing the right pass, yeah, and that's it. Don't play a percentage ball, especially when you haven't got the players in front. So I don't know if you guys picked up on that. I did feel like people were getting frustrated then. They were recycling again, but I was happy with that. And I think it's playing against a team who are that good. If you keep giving the ball back, they're going to punish you on the break eventually. So I was quite happy. Moving on to Jurera and Hwang Hee-chan Noke.
I'll start with Hwang. I thought he did well. I thought he was busy. Getting back to his pain in the backside old self, isn't he, where he's winding people up. He hits the deck for the smallest touch and tries to win fouls. And he just needs to get that energy back, I think, and he's the match fitness that will come. But I thought he did relatively well. Chiraiwa was okay. I don't want to be seen critical. I've seen him described as special. I've not really seen that myself yet. I think he's a lad with potential. I think he's a lad who could develop and he similar to Fraser. I think he'll certainly have a career. But you know, I don't think we should put too much pressure on him too early by flying words like that round, because I don't think he's in that position yet. He did okay. He had a couple of decent moments where he had the ball, controlled it out of his feet and laid it off pretty well. Wasn't much of a threat in front of goal, unfortunately. But I think he's a lad who, if we can get him out on loan next season, you know, you get an opportunity to really play some minutes in the league where he can affect the game, and you know you'll come back the year after and maybe you can have a little bit more of a conversation around him. But he did his job and he worked hard, and he certainly didn't hide away from the occasion.
Yeah, I thought Tawander was all right. He didn't look like he was his first time in the Premier League. He's clearly a gifted footballer. He's neat and tidy. He links it up well. He doesn't look to have a lot of pace. I'm not sure going forward he's going to be a forward, maybe a 10 just off. If it looks to me more of a midfielder in a three, like... I've forgot his name now, but the lad we had, Trinkau, he reminds me of that kind of player that's busy, looks nice on the ball, hasn't got a lot of pace. I mean, I hope he's as good as Trinkau going forward, but
I mean, I'm not digging him out or trying to be critical of the lad. I think you're right. I think we get a little bit excited too early about some of our young players, and if we're being completely honest, we don't produce a great deal from our academy. The ones that we do produce, we generally pinched when they're already at a development stage. So he's a lad who can do well. My worry is when you're playing him in these games and you're flogging him and he's not getting a lot of change, that you're potentially doing more damage than good. So I'd certainly like to see him go out next season and, you know, either to maybe Scotland or really in the lower leagues and just experience the game from the area he should be playing at, rather than being in against an established defence that just don't concede goals. So I think that he has got potential and he has got an ability and he will certainly have a career. There's no doubt about that. But I just think we potentially just get a little bit excited sometimes.
Yeah. We say not to develop players, but I think we only bought him 6 months ago for about 100 and something grand from Ipswich. So we've developed him for 6 months and now he's, like you said, he did okay. Hwangi, gives you that little bit of pace, did okay, thought it was all right. I don't think there was any poor performances. I think there was a very well-organised team display. Boubacar, probably the standout player for me. As Tyler said, Max stepped up, and a special shout-out for Gomez for doing a good job on Saka. So no disappointments. And you know, I mean, you're always worried in those games that it's going to be an embarrassment, especially when it's like that. But it wasn't, so... Yeah, I'm quite happy with that. On the agenda tonight as well, we are going to talk about going forward with Fosun and Jeff. Just to remind you, this is episode 97 of the Wolves Report with Chris Topp, Colin Martinock and myself, Ryan Lester. We've done the match analysis from Arsenal's 2-0 win at Molineux. This is something that's always on Facebook, on Twitter. It's always in social media. Talking about Fosun. I know there's a small hardcore of Fosun out and Jeff out. Now, I'm by no means Fosun out, but I think Jeff can do better, which I think is very fair. And I know I'm repeating myself, Tyler, and we can't live on this forever. Promotion, FA Cup final, Europe, all that feels like a long way away now. It feels like a different Wolves with a different spending strategy. But Nocky, our poor signings and bad decisions in the recent transfer windows over the last 2-3 years has really caught up with Wolves now. And if they don't get it right this summer, it could go bad.
It's a really tricky one, isn't it? I mean, we kind of spoke about this before, that I understand why we didn't go heavy in the January window. And yeah, there's been some poor signings, but there's also been some very good signings as well. You look at Lamina and Gomez and going back to Jota, Neves. So I'm still happy with Fosun. I mean, look where we are. Look, we're comfortable in the league. It just depends. I think the acid test is this summer now, because we know the situation we're in and the ambition's going to be pretty clear to see. And I know people want Fosun to invest. You need to get that idea straight out of your head, because Fosun are not going to invest anymore. This is about being self-sufficient and selling players so that you can bring players in. So you can probably expect two of the bigger names to go so that we can reinforce the squad. And we've been chatting a lot about this on our group chat, haven't we? That's the model. We'll buy them cheap, we'll sell them big, we'll then reinvest with three or four players, cheap, develop them. it's a similar model to what Southampton had, and they kind of, we know what happened to them at the end of it, because if you do get it wrong for that one season, you can be in trouble. And I think we've got a little bit lucky this year, because I think the league has been really weak. I don't think it's been a particularly strong Premier League, and no disrespect to Aston Villa, but I don't think any of the season they're in the top four, because I don't think they're all that good, in all honesty. I just think that the league and the teams around them are
the next best. They're the next best, aren't they? There's three outstanding teams. Villa are the next best.
So. Villa are the next best, and that, you know, well done to them. That's a reflection on how well they've done. But my point is, I think it's a weak league, which is why they've got in this position. I think it's a weak league, which is why we're sitting halfway up it. I don't think it's the strongest league that we've had. So we need to improve the squad. We need to improve the numbers as well. And there's some worrying talks about, you know, if we're going to improve the whole squad, we've got to accept that we've got to weaken the 11 to do that. And I'm really not comfortable with that. I think that we need to be improving both areas of it. In terms of Jeff Shee, I struggle to see what he really does now. I think he's very silent unless things going really well. I don't really know what he brings, whether he's just a face of Fosa now as opposed to having the input in the team. But we need players. Gary O'Neill knows we need players. Hobbs knows that we need players. So I'll reserve judgment because we've achieved above my expectation this season. I'll reserve judgment until the end of the summer window where we know what we've got. But I would expect that if we're not considerably stronger at that point, there's going to be some real frustrations. And you're probably going to see those frustrations start to boil over a little bit when the season ticket renewals come out and we're in the situation we're in. So it's going to be very difficult to see what we're going to look like at the start of next season. But if we get this one wrong, I think we're going to be in a bit of trouble, because I don't think the league's going to be this weak next year.
Tyler, does the book stop with Jeff Shee in terms of the way the squad is? Is he listening to the advice given him by his director of football and the football advices he gets? Because I don't understand how Wolves could have let those forwards go in January. Granted, Fabio, he's having a stinker in Scotland with his ice skating lessons. And obviously, Sasha's had been very, very unfortunate. But to let those go, to thin out the squad even more, to then rely on Nathan Fraser, great application, changed the cup game, but nowhere near ready for Premier League football. Does that fall on Jeff?
I don't think it all falls on Jeff, does it? I think Knock is right. I think he's quite clearly the face, but he has been the one constant at the same time, hasn't he? And at some point, you've got to start questioning that, haven't you? I mean, he's been there too long, hasn't he, already? It's stale, isn't it? And you get the impression, I don't know this, but you get the impression that O'Neill and Hobbs will be going to him, and it's him still probably making that final call. And that's a bit concerning, isn't it? Because if he doesn't want to spend, he doesn't want to spend. And Knock is right. I don't think they will spend. They'll sell to buy. That's okay if it works, but I haven't really seen it work too much yet. You know, we're not selling the players at their peak of their value. Adama, we probably could have sold and got money for, held on to him too long, he goes for nothing. We say every summer it's a massive summer. Well, why is that? It shouldn't be. We're an established Premier League team. We've been there 7 years. So why is every summer massive for us? It wouldn't be if we were a well-run club, in my opinion. Neto, we're probably going to almost halve the value now again, because we probably held on to him with his injury. So whether it's bad luck or bad judgment, I don't know. But that model for me, I go to Brighton and they sell players for 50, 60, 100 million pounds. I don't see Wolves doing that. And that's, I think, the problem. I have trust in O'Neill. He's the right man. I think I've got trust in Hobbs as well, from what I hear. Jeff sort of hangs around a bit like a bad smell, doesn't he, at the moment? And like I said, he's the constant that's been there throughout the whole time. And I think it's just a bit stale now, and I think he probably needs to move on and be replaced.
Yeah, it's a tough one because we don't really know, do we? We know, obviously, we had Sellers, who, I don't know whether he was sacked or we left or whatever, I don't know, we know the story there. And we know about, obviously, Hobbs coming in and what he's done and players he's identified. So he seems to be quite popular and he seems to get on really well with the manager. So if you've got the director of football and you've got the manager, head coach getting on well, that's a great start. I don't know how much say Jeff has in terms of sign-off. I'd imagine Jeff's the money guy, isn't he? I don't know how much he knew about football coming in.
He must have Ryan, because O'Neill was quite vocal about wanting that striker. And Hobbs was, and it didn't happen. So although, like, Steve's right, we don't know what goes on behind the scenes.
He's
the one signing the checks, don't we?
Yeah, is that a case then of we thought we might get relegated this year, so we know now we're going to be safe in January. It would have taken a disaster to be relegated in January from where we were, so therefore we don't need to spend any more money. Is that the mentality, or are you saying, or do you think that we were that close to the wire we couldn't afford to spend another penny?
I totally get that argument from a business perspective, but Knock has touched upon it, you know, with Southampton. If you stand still, you're going backwards. You're not standing still, you are going backwards. And the squad now, for me, is totally unacceptable for a Premier League team. Whether there's injuries or not, it's unacceptable. And it is negligent. That's the word I would use. You know, my son's nine-a-side team have more players to pick from at a weekend than a Premier League football club. That's how embarrassing it's got, really. And you just shouldn't be in that scenario. And for me, like I said, for me, he's the constant. You know, O'Neill was vocal about it. He thought he had someone coming in, and they've decided he hasn't. And we keep saying we're going to learn from the mistakes, but we haven't up to now. We haven't. We're making the same mistakes we made season after season. So I don't see anything that makes me think that's going to change moving forward.
Well, if we're looking to learn from our mistakes, I mean, Nocky, the Raul Jimenez injury, I mean, I'm just glad Raul's okay, but he was never the same after that. Wolves didn't learn from that. And whether we like it or not, under Jeff Shee's tenure, Wolves have made their worst signing and one of the worst ever signings in Premier League history. You can't away. That's 35 million or 30 million gone and out of the way. And that's a real...
Guedes or Fabio, are you talking about? Sorry.
Well, we'll probably get some money back on Guedes, won't we? And neither of the losses on those players will be as bad as people make out, oh, we've lost this much money, because if they're going out on loan, we're saving a considerable amount on their huge wages. So it's still a loss and it's a concern. But, Nocky, are we in a situation? Is it better the devil, you know? Because obviously he's the face of Fosun. And I want to give some quick balance again, because under his tenure, Wolves have got promoted, Wolves have got Europe, Wolves have got FA Cup, and we've had some of the best moments we've ever had. So I don't want this to be like a complete slagging match. So I have to a nod of respect, because he's given us, under his guidance, some of the best moments. However, those good times have gone flat in the last few years.
I mean, it's really difficult, isn't it? Because Jeff has a boss, the same as everyone else. So you can replace him, but if the instruction from above is exactly the same, you're not going to get a great deal different. So he will work to a budget that he's been established by the club, and that budget will be you've got to spend to bring him in. Now, is he looking at it at Christmas, where I think that the player we were probably going to go after was Che Adams, and it probably would have been £3 million, around that sort of figure, to get him out of Southampton, because he's on his last year of his deal. So do you spend that £3 million then when you're safe, or do you wait 5-6 months and get him for absolutely nothing? So from a business head point of view, they did the right thing, because we're comfortable in the division. We're not going to go down. We're not going to finish in Europe. We'll just sit in the middle of the table. I think Fosun will be happy with that every season. I don't think they're too fussed about us pushing for top seven. I don't think they want us in a relegation battle, because the product is marketable in the Premier League. Wherever you are, it doesn't matter whether you're, you know, in the top four, obviously you're going to be more of a pull, but as long as you're in this division, you're marketable, you're going to make money, and you're going to push the brand. And as Fosun owns us, we're pushing their brand as well. So there's no real transparency about what the long-term plan is for Wolves. We know that the stadium, you know, they were going to rebuild the stadium, we were going to do this, we're going to do that, but nothing's really happened with that. And Molineux's falling down. I mean, it's you go in there now and it just looks old, it looks tired, but nothing's kind of done about it. So it'd just be maybe nice to know what the next 5 years look like for us, what we're planning to do. But I think it's pretty obvious that we're already planning for the next stage. You've got Noah Lamina who's come in. You've got Gonzalez who's come in. We're signing these young players. They're going to be your next bank that comes through.
And that's fine.
Yeah, and we'll subsidise that with, we'll sell Neto. We'll sell one of the other players, whoever that will be. You know, it could be a defensive player. It could be a midfielder, whoever that will be. I think there'll be two big hitters go. So we'll subsidise with some instant quality while we breed through the younger players. Then we'll clear out the next generation and we'll go again and we'll try and build as we go. And that's kind of the model that we're going to follow now. But it's disappointing, because I think that we started so strongly in this division and we've we've sunk, whereas if we'd have gone the other way and then built up, we'd be quite happy with where we are now. So we're kind of a victim of our own success in many ways, but it's difficult, and I don't think it's as easy as just swapping Jeff straight out. I think there needs to be clear direction from above, and whoever replaces Jeff, it could be you or me, you know, or Tyler, but if they tell us this is what you've got to spend and this is how we want the situation to run, you run it that way or you get replaced. So it's difficult unless you know what the instruction is from the top.
Absolutely. It'd be interesting to see. I mean, we never really know. I would only hope that Matt Hobbs and Gary O'Neill have the majority of football decisions along with their scouts and their technical people around them. And Jeff, obviously, he's the one that's deciding the budget, what we need to make. Yes, I know it was an interesting year in terms of sales, but we had to claw back that money because we had to overspend last year to keep our Premier League status. So recovering their own mess, I would say. But yeah, it's an interesting one going forward, Tyler, because we don't really know a plan, a goal or an aim. But I think Jeff was stung at the start because he said he wants to be challenged this and that. And if a chairman does come out and say something, then the fans hang on every word. And if you don't do that or commit to it, you get slated. So you can't really win in that situation.
No, we can't. You want to talk about ambition, don't you? But obviously messed up in what you said initially, didn't they? But I think that's it. As a paying football fan, you just probably want a bit more communication. I think we've heard from him once this season, and that was on the back of a sort of a refereeing display, wasn't it? Like I said, we're probably guessing what the strategy is. It looks like that's the plan, but is that the plan? You know, do they have any plans for Molyneux? Do they have any plans for bringing more Premier League-ready youngsters through? What are the plans for season ticket prices? They're the questions that are on, you know, this time of year that people want to know. And it'll take some front to put the prices up when, you know, we're rolling out the team we've got at the moment. But we probably all expect it, don't make us. If us three don't go, then another three people will. And that's the nature of the world we live in at the moment, isn't it? So I think it is that communication piece, and it's knowing what, you know, the strategy and the plan is, shorter term, but longer term as well.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Just touch on there briefly, Nocky, about season tickets. Tyler's right. There would be a bit of front. If you're putting out the team there with the alleged fourth lowest wage bill in the league. I know Palace have frozen season tickets. I don't know if someone in the Championship has. But other teams like Forest have gone a ridiculous increase, which is genuinely pricing people out. Unfortunately, it's not like we can shop anywhere else. I can't, as much as I know some of us like our local non-league teams and we'll go and watch them, it's a different carnival then, because whether you've got friends or connections, it's a different kind of football. You enjoy your day out, take your kids and stuff and whatever. But you can't shop anywhere else for your football team. So they've kind of got you. But I mean, I would expect, again, looking at inflation, I wouldn't be surprised if it's 5 or 6%. I don't want it to be that. I don't think it should be. But as Tyler said, I think that's inevitable.
It will be. I mean, anyone who thinks the season tickets are going to freeze are very naive. The reason for that, they don't really need you. There's 7,000 on the waiting list. So that could go as high as 10% for the season ticket sales. And if you can't afford to renew yours, there's 7,000 other people who are quite happy to come and take your spot. I think the only time I've ever felt needed as a Wolves supporter is when we were in League One and when we were in the Championship struggling in the old, you know, I'm going back to the Steve Ball days now. You felt like you were needed then. Now we're really not. I mean, the players are kept so far away from the supporters. It's just such a business in the Premier League, and you can see that with VAR. You can see that with the talk of sin bins and pushing things for the American audiences, that you're a customer and you can be easily replaced. And that's kind of the mentality that the club will have. And as long as we've got people on the waiting list for season tickets, those season tickets will go up every single season. I think 6% is probably a low estimate. I think it will go higher than that, because I think they've looked at teams like Liverpool and the prices they've put in on now. And, you know, we've got a massive fan base in Korea, haven't we? We've got fan bases all across the world who'll come and take those spots if other people don't want to sit there. So for me, I think that the Premier League's a money-making monster, and teams will squeeze as much out of it as they possibly can. And that includes us as well, unfortunately.
Greg jumps on there and says, why, Ryan? We are the only club in the West Midlands that hasn't had a price freeze in the last set. I didn't know that, Greg. That doesn't make me feel great.
Because we're the only club without a waiting list. So it's supply and demand. There's plenty of demand at Wolves at the minute, and they can afford to squeeze you, they're going to squeeze you.
Yeah, tough one. I mean, it's a real tough one, isn't it? And like I said, but just again, just to add some balance, the top people at Wolves, like Jeff, they're not fans, they're businessmen. But there are some people at Wolves who are Wolves fans and people who aren't Wolves fans that do genuinely care about the people at the football club. The people, I think, that at the very top, as long as someone's buying the season tickets, I think that runs across football. If they're buying the season ticket, that's fine. But every club, and I know Wolves, I know plenty of people in there that do love Wolves, that work for Wolves as well. So it's not just not the whole club doesn't care, because that is not the case. Should we go on to some questions, or do you want to add any more to Fosun and Jeff Tyler?
Questions.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's pick the mood up a little bit. Richard Holmes, good evening, Richard, asked, this summer, I hope players are sold quickly and replaced and most business sorted by mid-July. Stepping back into the real world, do you think this will actually happen? Good question.
No.
No chance.
The other problem you've got this summer, obviously, is the Euros and all that's going on. You know, business won't be. And this is what I touched upon earlier, but every summer we seem to say, oh, this is massive for Wolves, this is massive, get our business done early. It just won't happen, will it? It just won't. And, you know, the Euros, the top players are going to be away with their countries. Business won't get done. So,
well, if we're looking to sell Neto and he's fit in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, he's probably going to be in the squad. And therefore, then, you know what I mean? It's not going to happen. And then if we're working in a money in, money out basis, then nothing can happen until Neto's gone. Because as well, Wolves can't take the risk. Because if he gets injured, then we don't sell him before September. He could really drop us in it again. So in an ideal world, you want that every pre-season. You want to go to pre-season with all the players you don't want gone. Maybe keeping some of the young players around looking for their loan, and then you've got all your players in to get a full pre-season. I just don't think that's realistic. I want it to be, Richard, but I just don't. And I think it'll be another window when... All I would say is I hope Wolves have done their homework. They know who they want. They have touched base early doors to know what players are interested. There's no point chasing the player if you don't know he's interested. We all know that goes on. We know the players that are interested, and we're going from there, Nocky.
Yeah, the model we follow kind of dictates the business is going to be quite late, because we're looking for those bargains and we'll need to sell players first. So I'd be amazed if we've got more than two in before we hit pre-season. Then I think you'll see the majority of it happen during that period, because we're looking for those deals. We're looking to offload. We're looking for the best value for money. So we can't just throw money at things and get the players we want. We've got to work inside the nooks and crannies, haven't we? It cracks the crevices when you're trying to build something like this. So I think it's ambitious. I'd love us to get everything done straight away, but I think there's going to be some very frustrated supporters as we hit pre-season.
Absolutely. I think it's almost impossible. And you're right, because as well, we're going to be wanting to get the best price for Neto. And if if Portugal go deep into that tournament, he isn't going to be going anywhere until late, I think it's the finals around usually the 11th or 12th of July. So, and that you're deep into pre-season then, aren't you? So, Richard, thank you for your question. I just hope though, just finally on that, we've seen that with the South American market, what Brighton have done and what we've done with João Gomes, I hope we are looking at that again and doing some more, because there seems to be some real value. I know it's not 100% strike rate. Obviously, Fernandes was playing a different level of league. He could be one for the future, hopefully he is. But João Gomes looks the best 13, 15 million pounds Wolves have spent in a very, very long time. Hopefully more of that. Richard, thank you for being part of the show. Carl White has asked, with Gary O'Neill bringing in Wes, for the Arsenal game, do you think we'll now see more players like him coming into the first team picture between now and the remainder of the season? Tyler?
I don't think so. You know, you guys seem to think we've got a couple of players coming back for the next two. I don't think so. I think the kids that are on the periphery are there or thereabouts, aren't they? But I think we talked about it. But what have you got to lose in playing them? And it's a fine line, isn't it, between it almost being a bit of a publicity stunt and then Ben being good enough to actually get minutes, isn't it? And I think you've got to be realistic about that. And you've got to manage them. And, you know, Fraser's a prime example, isn't it? He came into the side, he made an impact at Brentford, he was all guns blazing, and now he's not been looked at, is he, when we haven't even got a striker? So you've just got to be so careful with these players, and I'd still rather they were learning their game in the level that they should be, really.
I think as well, if the players in and around, we'll back whoever's there. I mean, we had a very makeshift team on Saturday night. We backed them, and we came out reasonably satisfied, well, very satisfied with the effort, and accepting that it wasn't a pacing, which was good. I don't see a Gary O'Neill team taking their foot off the gas and just plodding to the end of the season. These players don't strike me as those type of players, and he doesn't strike me as that type of manager. What's a Premier League place worth? Is it like 2 million per place? So, you know what I mean? The further you're sinking down the table, the smaller your budget will be for the summer. So surely he'll know that as well. So a couple of places could be the difference between like an extra 2 million, an extra £6 million. So there's an incentive as well. But not only that, these players are going to be playing for their place next season. And some of them will be playing for a summer move as well. Carl, thank you for your question and being part of the Wolves Report. I think Bobby's taking the mick here, but we'll say it anyway. If Forest go down, could we bid for their promising English midfielder, Morgan Gibbs-White? Might be worth a punt. Wolves have a 10% sell-on clause for any profit made on that deal. So if, as been talked about, he goes to Spurs or to Newcastle for 50 million and Wolves have received 30, that's an extra £2 million for Wolves from that 20 million profit. So, yeah, I don't think Morgan Gibbs-White would come back to Wolves, and I don't think... I don't think after what's happened, many of the fan base would welcome him back. But you know what? And I keep saying it, and I said this on a Forest podcast, it was the right deal at the right time for Forest, for Wolves and for Morgan, and it's worked out. You know what? He's a pantomime villain now. When he comes, he's going to get some grief. And that's the way it should be. Any of the other stuff that I've seen on social media, totally unacceptable. We can do far better than that. Keep it banter, keep it clean. None of the other stuff. But will Morgan come back? Not in a million years. Gentlemen?
No, there's no chance.
Well, that ends that. I'm glad you want to talk about that. So that was worked out really well. This is just going back to what we talked about earlier on with Fosun. I probably should have dropped it in then, but I didn't read down the script far enough. Is the narrative of Fosun being tight fair, spent hundreds of millions, admitted not always well, and forced to sell, unable to buy because of financial fair play, not a lack of ambition? I'll start that one off, Tolan, and you can follow it up. And I think we talked about this on the group chat as well. Fosun, I think summer before last, writ off £110, £120 million worth of debt and pumped a load of money in. So I don't see them being tight. I don't think they are tight. I think we are restricted now by financial fair play, which, unlike some teams, we adhered to the rules and had to sell to stick within the guidelines. Others didn't. But I don't think they're tight. I just think we have to be a bit more efficient now because they can't continue. We can't expect an owner to relentlessly pump their own money in. We'd like to, and then there's not an obligation to do that, Tyler, but I think calling them tight would be unfair.
They're not tight, but I have little sympathy for them because we talk about the good business, but there's a hell of a lot of terrible business that's been done. Like, not just bad business, but really bad. Fabio Silva, Gonçalo Guedes,
Patrick Cotrone.
20 million on Sasa, who we knew was injured. Cotrone, like you mentioned, letting Adama go on loan for free just as a bit
of... You know what? That one, of all the ones, is the one that it still hurts now. I'll tell you what, lads, we're pushing for... At that time, all right, Wolves were like fifth, sixth in the Premier League, and then did nothing, and your one player that can change a game. I think his last game was at Brentford. He had a disallowed goal for offside, and it was a great goal. And then he went on loan to Barcelona.
Yeah, and that's why you can't, you know, if
mental.
If you had a mate that kept like losing all their money, you'd think they're a bit stupid at the end, wouldn't you? Because that's what Wolves are doing. Hoover, someone's put on there another 10, 12 million. You know, you can't keep making those mistakes. You can't have sympathy for them. So. Yeah, I agree with Jeremy. I don't think they've been tight. When they bought the club, they had an ambition to get us where they've got us now. Like Nocker said, it's just that frustration to seem to be going a bit backwards, isn't it? And, you know, we could have had Pelina for probably 18 million. We didn't buy him.
That was dependent on selling Neves, though. So that deal, that deal was done, but Wolves couldn't get the money they wanted for Neves.
But then 2 weeks later, we signed Nunes for 45 million. you know, it's just not well planned and well thought out business a lot of the time. You know, we have got some right, you know, Joel Graham is brilliant, Lamina, Dawson came in and have done a brilliant job. But I struggle to have any sympathy with them because of the mistakes they've made. And we keep saying they're going to learn from them, but hopefully we do start to learn from them because there's been far too many.
Yeah, as we say, it's a huge summer. Nocky, any follow-up to that?
No, I agree. I think the initial investment was what they needed to do to get us into the Premier League. They spent big, they spent well, and we brought in some quality players, and then we sold practically all of them on for a profit. And then it was about stabilising in the division. And I think the plan was always to go to kind of a self-sufficient model because they are an investment company. They're not just going to keep throwing money at it. And in the whole, I think they've done well. I know people will want Fosun out. They want a billionaire investor to come in from Saudi Arabia. But you've got to have a little bit of context to where we were. And I don't like looking back and saying we were a League One team or anything like that. But where we are now, and since they've been in the team, I think we've had one real flirt with relegation, which was last season. Other than that, we've always been very comfortable in the division. Mm. So sometimes it's a case of be careful what you wish for, because if we did lose Fosun and you bring in some of these other Cowboys that are flying around, you don't know where you're going to end up. But I also think there needs to be a clear strategy of what we're going to do going forward, because the self-sufficient model does frighten me, because I think it works when you're getting your Joao Gomez's and you're getting those players through. But you only need one season where it doesn't work, you're relegated, and then it can be a very long way back. So a little bit of perspective I think is needed, but also a little bit of ambition and a bit of hope for us as well. We want to know that the club's moving in an upward trajectory. You don't want to just sit here forever and, you know, do an Everton and just flirt with relegation and sit in the middle of the table and then flirt with relegation again. You want to know there's a little bit more to the future of the club, and hopefully there will be.
A great answer again, Nocky. Just to add a bit of a balance to there, as far as I'm aware, Wolves constantly run at a loss. So I think, although the self-sufficient bit is for the transfer market, because I think as a business, although they had to claw a load of money back and we had to pay with losing a lot of our players, Wolves run at a loss, which you're allowed to, I think, 110 million over 3 years.
How can we run at a loss, though? We've got the fourth lowest wage bill in the division. We've got the TV revenue.
You're asking the wrong person, mate. You're making it sound like I decided that we're running at a loss.
I'm not questioning what you're saying, but I don't understand how we can be running at a loss when we've got, you know, when the wage bill is so low and when we are bringing in these players and you get all these millions of pounds coming in from TV revenue. It doesn't sit right with me that we could be running at a loss. I just don't see where that loss is. I mean, I'm not a businessman. I don't claim to be, but that doesn't feel right to me that we could be running at a loss. Maybe someone can explain it and put it right to me, but I don't see how that's possible.
Absolutely. There's a lot of business and football brains in and around. Craig Spillard being one of them. Maybe we can get him on to have a chat more. He's done some really good stuff with his numbers. I'm only sort of, and there's a friend of mine called Jazz as well, who's far gifted numerically than me in terms of the finances and stuff. Maybe those guys could speak to us. I'm only going off what I'm told on the brief breakdown, the very basic breakdown that I could understand. But Wolves don't make money. And I think the only team that really do consistently is Brighton. Whether that's sustainable, I mean, they've built up some real cash in the bank. So if they wanted to spend heavily now, they're probably good, but that's not who they are.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't question it at all. You know, like I say, people all know the statistics a lot more than me. But an investment company like Fosun, I don't see why they would run a business at a loss. They cut you off, because if you're losing the money, they don't want you. It just feels like, is it just purely a wooden dollars paper exercise that we're losing money? Because when you look at the money we spend on players compared to the sales, I just don't feel that I don't know where that loss would be. It just seems really confusing to me.
Just going back briefly from my very limited knowledge, obviously they're using the Wolves brand for esports. They're building the esports stadium, which is obviously a completely separate business to Wolves. I'm all right with that. Use the brand. It's more exposure for the club. I've got no problem with that at all. Yeah, it's a tough
one. You've got no problem with them building an esports stadium, but you've got the infrastructure of Molineux.
No. So, but they're two totally different. But that's not coming out of our budget. That's nothing to do with the club. That's a sister club sitting alongside where Fosun are spending something else on a.
So you can see why. You can see why the Wolves fan from the 80s, 90s.
Yeah, of course. And I get that. But that's that's, although it's part of the Wolves family, it's not part of the Wolves accounts, it's not part of the Wolves business. And if they want to do that and build that, I've got no problem with that. I like the exposure in Mexico when Jimenez was doing fantastic. I like the exposure for Wang Yi-chan, for South Korea. It's all good and all welcome. I want Wolves to grow, totally fine. I had a point then as well about the losses, but I forgot what I was going to say. I was so interested in what you were saying, Lockie. I've lost my train of thought on it, so it's gone. But yeah, it's maybe someone with a more of a football monetary brain than us can come on and explain. This is episode 97 of the Wolves Report with Mark Knott, Chris Tyler and myself, Ryan Lester. This was supposed to be a mini show. It's absolutely flown on to an hour because this is what always happens. But we've gone through the whole show without talking about it. Let's just finish it off. Wayne said, has VAR destroyed your passion for the game? Personally, I'm now close to packing the game in.
Not now, Wayne.
I don't think this is the time now, Wayne.
But she's not the time or the place for that. I've just about calmed
down. Yes, Wayne, I agree with you.
I think a lot of us feel like that. But Wayne, a regular contributor, selling himself in Australia, I believe. Wayne, thank you for your contribution. But let's not talk about that this week.
I think it was, just to finish on that brief, I think it was JP that tweeted, and he's absolutely spot on. When did you last talk about a game of football to anybody without mentioning either VAR, the referee, sin bins, you know, FA, PGML? Nobody now talks about the football matches. You literally just talk about the incidents that have happened in the game and was the decision right or wrong. And for me, that's the saddest thing about it, because we all used to love ringing each other up and, oh, did you see that game, that game? Not talked about anymore. It's purely decision-based, and it's so sad.
You're 100% right. I mean, I've got no love for Coventry City, and seeing them in pain was enjoyable for me. But when what they've done in that moment, they've robbed football of probably the greatest FA Cup moment since probably Wimbledon beat Liverpool, to come back from 3-0 down and do that for a team in the Championship. And they've taken that away by a toenail. And
it doesn't even look like they've drawn the line properly.
But the line goes over.
Wayne, look what you've done. You've done this, Wayne. We're at the end of the show. We're having a nice time. You've done this, Wayne.
But you look at it, I mean, the line goes over his foot. I mean, there's no exact science to exactly when that ball's being released. So you're talking milliseconds, which make all the difference to the position of a player's foot. So it's these attempts to sabotage football. Someone put a great message me the other day about this, and there was a great tweet about football being the only sport that continuously tries to commit suicide. And it does. It's trying to kill itself all the time with these stupid rule changes. And, you know, no one would have batted an eyelid if that goal was given. It would have been a fantastic, fantastic moment, you know, and to take that away from you because of a toenail, because he's got bigger feet than you. I mean, I just think that's horrendous. So it's just daft. But to answer his question, it's taken a lot of my love from the game. I don't love football the way I used to love it. I mean, I always love Wolves. They're a part of who I am, and I couldn't live without them, but I don't love the game the way that I used to love it now. And I don't watch football on telly half as much as I used to, because I'm just sick of the referee being front and centre all the time.
Nice one, Wayne. I've got to look at Nocky's texting me for the next 2 days now talking about your question. We're at the end of the show. We've got two home games coming up. Bournemouth at home on Wednesday evening and Luton Town on Saturday afternoon. Nocky, I'm with you. I think the team will look considerably different on Wednesday than it did against Arsenal. I'm hoping for some miraculous recoveries from Nelson Semedo and Mateus Cunha. Maybe Ait Nouri starts as well, and then Wolves start looking a little bit like themselves. Tyler, are you in agreement with that, or do you think these guys were going to be seeing a similar sort of team?
I'd hope my manager's coming out and telling the truth. So if he's told me Cunha's a couple of weeks away, I'd expect him to be a couple of weeks away.
Didn't he say 1 to 2 weeks ago? Why? And that would be a week and a half since he was injured.
Well, maybe, but I don't think you'll see him. Hopefully Semedo, but again, if he's got a calf strain, it's not one you just sort of jump out of bed and straight back playing again. So Aynor is the one that you think could probably start. Wang's got more minutes in the tank. You think Sarabia will come back in. You think Lamina will come back in. The back three is probably the same, isn't it? So I worry about Wednesday. I think Bournemouth are a good side, and I think that causes a lot of problems. And they play nice football. They're attractive on the eye. They've got a top striker in the team. personally, I think they'll have too much for us.
We'll do a prediction round then on the Bournemouth game, Nocky.
I've got a sneaker. 3-0 Wolves, and I think I think Cunha will start, and I think he'll score.
Tyler, we only had 3 shots on target in the last 2 games, but yeah,
I can feel it in my water, mate.
No clean sheets, no strikers, but yeah, 3-0.
It's got to win somewhere.
Got to live in. And Wayne's questions absolutely destroyed Nocky. He's lost his head completely.
He's doing so well at his goal.
Mate, we're in the battle for 14th now, aren't we? So that's what I'm focusing on.
Tyler?
It's more because I've got a couple of bets on with you, Ryan, that we won't win another game and that Bournemouth will finish above us. So
nice.
I think they'll just come and play with the freedom. And I don't think we've just got enough at top still. So I think 2-1 to Bournemouth. Big Solanke.
Big Dom wrecking Wednesday afternoon. On to Saturday then when we play Rob Edwards Luton.
You haven't said you're 1-0, couldn't you, yet, though?
You've done it for me. Thank you very
much.
He doesn't
need to now, so it's in the...
That's it. Even when he's not playing anymore, that's going to be my prediction. Just hoping something happens. Saturday afternoon at Molineux, Luton Town. Now, it's a really interesting battle at the bottom of the Premier League. So, it's going to be an interesting game. I think Luton, on Saturday, they look like they're out of gas against Brentford. That's a bad result at home. Brentford in a bad run of form, and Brentford just pumped them. So whether Luton are gone, I don't know, but... This is the loop. That's the first time they've been properly slapped this season. But Wolves are the Robin Hood of the Premier League. But we haven't robbed from the rich recently, so we can't give to the poor. So hopefully Wolves can go on Saturday afternoon and Wednesday and win. I'm going to go with a 2-0 win and Toti Gomez on Saturday. Let's throw it out there. Gentlemen.
It's going to be back-to-back wins, 4-1 to Wolves.
What the hell's going on? 7 goals in 4 days.
I also fancy Totti from a corner. Bosh, have a bit of that.
Wayne's absolutely ruined Knocker. Tyler.
1-1.
I mean, I'm going to both those games. Honestly, Tyler, this is going to...
I don't want to go now.
Stinking the place out. This has been episode 97 of the Wolves Report. Thank you to Mark Knott, Chris Tyler. I've been your host, Ryan Lester. Look forward to speaking to you on Sunday evening when Wolves will come back with 6 points and 7 goals at the Wolves.